Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week for episode 162 is "This is the Callum McFarlane Appreciation Pod."
Hey,
I'm Chris, and today I am joined by my brother Craig and our good friend Brady. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, not too bad. It's been a busy festive period. The Christmas decorations finally came down today. I'm probably the last one to take them down, but ready for the new year and a new Chelsea under Callum McFarlane.
Yeah, I mean, Super Cal. It's got to say, like, what a story for this guy. I mean, I think he's taken charge of the Fulham game as well. But to nick 2 points off Pep, and he speaks really well. He speaks like a coach. No frills. Not in it for the glory. Had to get dragged over to clap the fans. Even the way he spoke after in the post match presser, he's just talking tactics and mentality. So yeah, a lot of time for him.
Yeah, Pep pipped at the back post. That would have been a better headline, I think. Anyway, this is our first YouTube stream properly. We've had a few goes at it, but we are here, so. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the pod. Leave us some love wherever you're listening or watching on YouTube or wherever your favourite podcast platform is. We're going to go through the usual schedule today. So we're going to start with some likes and dislikes from our game at Man City. But first, I will take us through some of the numbers. So obviously the game finished Man City 1, Chelsea 1. 1xG for City, 1.8 for Chelsea, goals from Reinders for City and Enzo Fernandez. Possession 43%, so some of our lowest. 83% pass accuracy for Chelsea. 3 shots on target out of 8 and 2 saves out of 3 for Jorgensen, who's in goal for Sanchez. Craig, I'll come to you first. Likes and dislikes for this one.
Well, likes is it's a game of two halves, but not like the Villa game. It was the opposite. It was very much a second half to be proud of. I really don't know exactly what City were up to in the game. It had a very strange feel to it. It was sort of almost like a bit of a pre-season game, I felt at times, where City just felt like they could just sort of cruise through it and the result didn't really matter. Didn't really feel like a team going for the title. And from Chelsea's point of view, I mean, struggled for a lot of the game, but they came out second half and really gave it a good go with a new tactical setup. One of my favourites, the 2-3-4-3. And yeah, did really well and probably definitely deserved a point.
Brady?
Yeah, I think just to, before I do my like, I think a lot of people forgot that City had a very short turnaround for this game. I don't think they were not bothered. I think they were leggy. I think that was a bit of an energy dip for them and they just couldn't find it. I think they're just kind of in the trenches fitness-wise. I'm not saying that was an excuse for them, but you could tell they were struggling with the turnaround. So we had, a 2-day more rest than other teams. So that actually helped. We just kicked on in the second half and they just couldn't match it. In terms of the likes, you just have to say this team, they show a lot of spirit. I mean, McFarlane kind of, like, he kind of got the dip behind the curtain afterwards they show spirit. I mean, even Caicedo, Colwill, Cucurella, Fofana, they all travelled and, you know, Callum said that, you know, you don't get that everywhere. They do fight for each other. I mean, it would have been really easy in this game to just roll over, get beat 3-4-0, which was the narrative before the game. You know, everyone triple captain Haaland in FPL and things like that. And yeah, they didn't. They actually dug out a point and it was... Yeah, when it went 1-0, I think we're all thinking we're going to get, you know, it's going to be not ugly, but it's just going to be a procession. And maybe City thought that as well. But you have to say they showed some grit and some fight.
Yeah, definitely some. I felt there was definitely some complacency there. I thought I could just zip the ball around and they'll be fine. But yeah, I think my like for this one is same ilk as you, Brady. I think the retaliation to, I guess, in the second half for being a goal down, could have easily gone the other way and just really kind of lost our heads. And we've seen Chelsea this season lose their heads, lots of yellow cards. But it was actually a fairly disciplined performance, which was quite unlike us. We weren't getting involved in silly tackles, although Delap did his best to do that. But for the most part, we were actually fairly disciplined and tried to play our game in the second half. City were fairly passive in the game. I think that's generally how they've been this season. They just kind of go away with it a lot. Fairly close results. So I was pretty impressed with the retaliation in the second half, and obviously got a bit of luck. You know, you make your own luck. It was us pushing at the end. I think if you look at our shot count in the game, we have 5 shots in the last sort of, well, 8 to 10 minutes, and City had none. So, yeah, it was certainly our game at the end to pip them at the post, as I said. So, yeah, enjoyable one in the end, and good for Cal to get a draw. I thought he'd done himself no disservice by the way he's conducted himself. And fair play to him. Good luck to him as well against Fulham. Craig, I'll come back round to you. Dislike?
Yeah, dislike was just the wastefulness in transition in this game. I thought we had loads of great counter-attacking opportunities that we didn't take advantage of at all. In fact, there were times, I think, where they were told maybe to be a bit more patient and sort of control the ball in spots where they obviously hadn't had the ball for large periods, especially in the first half, and they wanted to have the ball for a little bit. But I thought City were there for the taking on the counter in a lot of different situations. Weren't set up well to play against our sort of wing-back formation at all in the second half, and made absolutely no adjustments or effort to fix that in the second half. And yeah, Neto especially down that left, so many times, so much space, and just so wasteful. We didn't even end up getting a shot off a lot of the time. So yeah, I think if we're going to be playing with a little bit more defensive solidarity, and I thought one of the aspects that was missing under Maresca was sort of more of a low block setup that was good and could counter. If we are going to do that more under Rossini or whoever the manager is, then yeah, we've got to be more clinical in those counter-attacking spots.
What do you think, Brody? What's your dislike?
My dislike is we don't really have a form attacker, do we? They kind of dip in and out. You get one who scores a couple, and then they swap. Like, João Pedro has a couple. Enzo's got a couple in a row now. But you wouldn't even put Enzo in the attacking. Craig, can you pull up the Excel thing that I put in Discord?
Yep.
So up there now. So, yeah, just to look at these numbers. These are kind of sometimes called a Brady calculator, whatever. I do things in Excel. You see, as a cohort, as an attacking unit, I haven't included Enzo Fernandez, which I guess is controversial, but I wanted to focus on like all our main attackers. And they've got a goal or assist every 205 minutes. I don't really think that's good enough. It needs to be nearer 150, 180. And you might not seem like that is a big deal, but getting it below 200 is a really big deal. And yeah, there's just a lot of players here who are just not really consistent. I mean, obviously, Palmer, there's some minutes things here, like, you know, Gittens, Dilap and Palmer, you know, they're just around 500 minutes. But and Neto, I mean, Neto's, João Pedro is easily having the best season in terms of goals and assists. But even that, like, he's been in patches, which is very patchy attack. There's one, they don't seem to have any rhythm in terms of form. So, yeah, it's just disappointing. It's just, it's an okay attack and it should be better. So,
all right. Dilap's goals and assists is NA, isn't it? It's not once every 450 minutes.
So well, yeah, NA, yeah. Well, whatever, yeah, NA, yeah. Nothing.
Infinite minutes required.
I'm giving him the benefit of doubt there. He's going to score in the first minute against Fulham. Yeah, it's okay. And at an XG, we're actually, I think, fourth or fifth in the understat table in terms of XG. But the other cohort are okay, but you know, I think Carcelo's got 3 league goals this year, Enzo 5, Chalaba 3. They're the ones chipping in, and the attack is just not really up to it. It's okay, it's not terrible, but it needs to be better.
Yeah, among my dislikes, yeah, I guess similar in that sense. I think dislike for the, I mean, it was, I guess it's the way we've set up, but lack of pace on the attack. Everyone looks a bit leggy in our attack. Like, Estevao is not the quickest player, unfortunately. Neto's got some speed about him, but he, I don't know, he seems to be turning back too much. Enzo isn't the quickest, we know that. And Pedro isn't the quickest. Dilap, he got done by Kusunov, who, to be fair, is quick. But it's just, if you're going to play that way, we don't really have the players to play like that. You know, if you look at Forest last season, they had the really good setup for playing that way with Elanga, by having such low possession and just lasering it over, and he'd just speed run it down the pitch, and Chris would be there to tap it in. So I think when I look at our team, I think there is, and Palmer, you know, he's good on the ball, yeah, but he's not quick. So I don't know. My dislike for this game was a lot of our transitions stumbled because City were able to just get back behind us quite quickly, and we're trying to play short passes, which is our game under Maresca, when we're trying to counter. So, yeah, I think could have been a lot better with the way that we're structuring the attacks, which, to be fair, he fixed in the second half by just having a smarter player with Enzo, whose positional play is really, really good, to pick the ball up and drive forward. And we stuck a few more people up there with the way that we were structured. So I quite enjoyed the change at halftime. But yeah, first half was a tough watch. The chances created, it was very bad. Right, we're going to talk a little bit about the players now. Why don't we move on to the temperatures?
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
So in temps, we're going to find out who are the weaker players, maybe the poorer players who are freezing cold, who are the slightly improved players as warming up, and who are the top performers who are boiling hot. So we're going to gauge the temperatures. I'm going to come to you first, Craig.
Well, we've given our temps, haven't we?
We've given our temps.
I'm going to change mine because me and Craig are the same, and I have to give this guy a mention. So I've changed mine in the doc. It has to be changed.
Okay, fine. So we've actually got. Well, the reason I was going to go to Craig because he also had Palmer as well, but fine. So you've gone to Neto and I've got Estevao.
Yeah.
Palmer.
We'll talk about the ice cold. Ice cold Palmer is very cold in the freezer. Yeah, I mean, look, he's struggled since he's come back from injury. You give him a bit of time. And look, he had a decent game against Bournemouth before he got subbed, but yeah, we're talking about now. He's had 60 minutes against Bournemouth, 60 minutes against Everton, scored a penalty, 80 minutes against Newcastle, 70 minutes against Villa, 60 minutes against Bournemouth, and now 90 against City yesterday. So he's had a decent run in the games, and obviously he had a little sub appearance against Leeds as well where he came on. But I mean, he is struggling. He doesn't look fully fit. I just wonder if they're being entirely honest with his injury, and this sort of maybe is alluding towards something that happened at the end of Maresca's reign as well, with, you know, how to manage that situation. Maybe there was some discussion about that, but I think he's not his influential self at the moment, and maybe that's to be expected with a player coming back from injury. But he, again, so poor yesterday in the game.
Can he be dropped? Can you drop Cole Palmer from this team?
I was told last season that he wasn't even allowed to be subbed.
I mean, I think he could definitely not start Fulham. I mean, you could play Joe Pedro under 10 and you could play Delap in the 9, maybe. I think because of the turnaround, but I don't think they will. I think they will play him because you've got Charlton afterwards. So Charlton's the one where you rest him, I think.
I think he needs Charlton. Give him Charlton. Give him a little game, you know, find his place.
We need to beat Fulham, though.
I was going to... So I'm not sure it's necessarily, well, it's fitness, obviously, a little bit, but it's just like sharpness and mental sharpness. Just the decisions that he was making where he would just usually just ping a pass off, he cut back, or usually he's just instinctive of like when to cut back, when to pass. It wasn't there. He was very, very sloppy on the ball. And I don't think that's attributed to fitness, decision-making. Decision-making's just really, the whole attack were like it, really. Decision-making was awful. I wouldn't really attribute that to fitness. Just not mentally sharp yet. He got 90 minutes under his belt, which is good. But yeah, I mean, he was a passenger in the first half. And yeah, just, he's been poor. Been poor, no doubt.
I don't really know what to do. Obviously, it depends on where he's going to start playing in this new Rossignol era that we're going to have.
He'll be in the 10. He'll have to be in the 10.
I think Yeah. I mean, my freezer was Estevao, which I think they should swap, personally. I think Estevao is much better centrally, and I think Palmer's much more effective with the way that we were playing. Because you need your best player to have to pick the ball up in the best positions. I feel like when you're playing 10 at Chelsea, you're asked to basically kick the ball out wide to the wingers. And then you sort of sit around the box hoping for the ball to come back. I feel like you want him to get the ball to be the creator of the chance, because he's going to have a lot more quality. So, and Estevao, I just don't think he's quick enough to play wing still. He can go past someone. I'm not saying he's not skillful, but I think he's actually fairly intelligent as well, with his positioning. And I think Palmer's a little bit more. He sometimes likes to sit back a bit too much. I think Estevao will get in there, which is why he finds himself in good positions in the box. Estevao, he should have scored, I think, in this game as well in the first half.
Yeah, he
had our only shot, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 0.2 xG chance. That's actually quite a good chance. 20% chance to score, apparently. So, just a little freezer for Estevao as well. He was not clapping at the end, and he had like a screw face on. He was like looking unhappy. Not a fan of that. So I need to tell him that if you have a bad game and you get hooked, still got to clap and support the team. Not a fan of that. At the end, he had a bit of a screw face on at the end. He might not have seen it. He was fuming and he had like his hand in his pocket. So I don't like that. Just because you had a bad game and you got hooked. And I got a bit of heat on X actually from the Estevao fan club. They were in the comments. That they were not happy at all. They were like, let him breathe. All these sort of things, you know. Neto's dropping a stinker every week. That's why he should be in the team, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we could talk. We'll talk about that.
There's another moment actually involving Estevao. When Estevao scored against Barcelona, Garnacho looked really annoyed. Too much of this like individualism. As a team,
that's not true. Just, you know.
What's that?
He didn't run over him instantly and celebrate. He didn't look happy. That's not true. Garnacho.
If I was on the pitch we scored against Barcelona, I would have run over quickly as well.
Yeah, it wasn't an instantaneous reaction, I tell you that much. But yeah, Estevao, hand in his pockets. Just tell him, big deal, that goal. Big deal. I know he's a young kid, but needs a bit of a Chelsea culture training there, I think.
He's a young kid, Estevao, and he'll get better. But he got found out a little bit at Leeds away. And this was another game where he struggled in to really find his feet, so...
Maresca was doing a really good job of basically only playing him or starting him in home games. I think Leeds was the only away game he'd started recently, right?
And also bringing him on in the last 20 minutes of games when everyone's puffed as well.
Yeah.
Just good. That's what you're meant to do with him, young players and stuff. So I think that
play
should just
carry on. Play him at Charlton.
Yeah, play Charlton, yeah.
Because it's an away game, but it's not as obviously high standards, so yeah.
Yeah.
Can I do my freezer now? Well, my freezer is Pedro Neto.
Yeah.
Pedro Neto, his goals and assists has gone way up this year. He's already got 5 goals, 3 assists. He's, I think he's under 200 minutes for goals and assists, which for him is okay, because he's not prolific, especially with goals. But recently, he has been terrible. I don't know why. I don't know if it's fitness or... He came on against Bournemouth, and he looked absolutely puffed after 10 minutes. And in this game, I know we got a point, but that miss, I mean, I was apoplectic. You cannot miss that miss he did. I mean, that is absolute. I thought it was just obviously a goal. And Enzo did so well to, like, tee it up for him. I love Span. And just, look, he's been asked to play left wing back in a 3-4-3. And he's, you know, he's nowhere near as good as the left is in the right. And, you know, he's often that they swap swings and etc. But in general, he's having a better season, but... He has been poor lately, really poor. And it's one where they might look at, I don't think they should sell Neto. Me and Craig were joking about someone's got to call the Saudi hotline because that's really the only place we're going to sell him. But with Kouenda coming in, I've said before, with Kouenda coming in, one of Garnacho, Gittens or Neto will go. There's just not enough room. There's just too many wingers. Because that's the guy's going nowhere.
Kouenda might go on loan, though. He's not necessarily going to go directly into the first 11, is he?
I don't think so.
He'll come straight. It'd be like another Estevao job. No way. So
I think he's quite highly rated, Quenda. I think the thing about Quenda is he can play wing back as well. He has played wing back before. So
if you're a betting person, you'd probably say Gittens, because Gittens is not really, just for whatever reason, he's not getting many minutes. And when he does, he's struggling. And in this game, he wasn't even considered to be brought on, even though Neto was flagging. And I've been playing 3-4-3, but still. But Neto's been poor recently. And he's going to have to fix up if he wants to have a... Because, you know, when we celebrate, when we score a goal, he's like pumping the badge. And he loves it. He loves playing for Chelsea. But he's just got to improve his performances recently. He's really, really, really bad dip in form.
Yeah, he's been poor. I completely agree. Tough to bench him because I'm not really sure who else can come in.
Newcastle away was awful, and since then it's been awful.
Yeah. I think it's just like quality has just completely dropped off. Mm. Crossing is usually one of his strengths, and that's been really, really bad.
Yeah.
And then just too many touches, not getting the ball out quick enough, not clear, you know, that clear mind that affects you when you're in different positions, you overthink stuff. So whatever's going on with him, he needs to just chill out. Give him Charlton. Give him all Charlton.
I definitely would not play him, Phillip, for a couple of reasons. Load management and also just bad form.
He had a good game against Everton, Neto, but yeah, apart from that...
He was okay. He got an assist. He wasn't that good in that game. He was okay. He's been poor for about a month. He's been okay.
There you go. Right, let's do warming up. Let's talk about some better stuff. Okay, in here we've got a few different characters. Craig, you've got Gusto. And we've got, Brady's got Josh, Achimpong.
Yep.
And I've got Santos.
Nice. Wow, Achimpong. Let's hear Achimpong first.
Let's hear this.
This should be good.
Well, the Cobham division stand up tall.
I was about to go in on him.
He was all right, actually. But
he was good. Very, very good at successful dribbles. He only had one, but like he actually is very good at this, like dribbling past players. I think it's almost like his presence. He doesn't look intimidated in these games. He doesn't look like, you know, he doesn't look shaky. He actually looked a bit
disappointed to get subbed, actually.
Yeah, like he made a mistake, but yeah, which probably you're going to point to, but he made up for it. I mean, he had really, really good recovery pace to get after Haaland. Look, it was his mistake in the first place.
He's a big strider, isn't he, for his size?
Yeah, like, look, it was his mistake in the first place. So, you know, he's only righting a wrong. But I do think there's something there. So, the progressive passing's there, the aura's there in terms of when you go in like that and... It's also, I'm just very wary of that when every club is in for him, when City are interested, Bournemouth are interested, there's loads of clubs interested in him. He's clearly, stats-wise, like, he's got a bit of a, I don't know, reputation of being good, so even without the minutes. So, yeah. And it came out that they actually didn't want to bid for a centre-back because Nizar Kinsella did this last summer, where if they bid for a centre-back, then that would have automatically meant that Achimpong would have put a transfer request in. And that's not a reason to do that, but that's kind of what the board are going for. They really rate this kid. So I do too. I think he's a good player. He wasn't amazing in this game, but if he's thrown in against... they have Reinders left wing, which helped him a little bit because they didn't have much pace, even though Reinders scored. But they didn't have, a Doku or something like that to test him. But I thought he was okay in this game. I thought he was good. I think generally he just shows a lot of composure in his games.
Yeah. I think he's definitely got something about him. He's got really, obviously his height's ideal, but he's fairly intelligent. Execution wise, it's just all over the place still. And there are a few moments where the ball's go, you know, he's going over his head or whatever, and he just seems a bit slow. He's very reactive, and what you're looking for from the best defenders is proactivity, to sense danger and try and stomp out before it even happens. Being quick and getting back and reacting is good, but that isn't like elite level. So he's got a long way to go before we can put him there. He should probably be playing a lot more than he is in terms of where he is in his development.
I think he's a million miles off Chalobah at centre back, to be honest.
No.
Already.
Well, Chalobah's got that experience. Yeah, Chalobah's got that experience though. Achimpong should go on loan, I think. You know, he should be going and playing like Championship or something.
I don't think he can go on loan. He thinks that he should be playing in the Premier League. Well, remember, they had this
might get a loan in Premier League loan. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that you have to remember that this huge thing where they had to massively convince him to stay. He was going to leave, and then they had to give him this like big contract to stay. They had to convince his family and everything because they knew that like he wouldn't get the minutes at Chelsea, but they convinced him to stay, and that's why there's always every window like rumours of him not being happy, etc. But I think he's
might
really
end up being sold by the club.
Yeah, maybe.
And then he might end up at like Sunderland or something.
I can see under a senior and getting more minutes for sure. Definitely.
Santos.
Yeah, let's talk Santos because we both, I mean, we were both talking about him yesterday, Chris, weren't we? Because we both really like this player. Hasn't really been given the minutes like as much as maybe he should have been this season so far, although he has been sort of up and down when he's been playing. He's certainly been poor in some games, but this role really suits him in when you're playing 3-4-3, because one of the things, and this suited Gallagher as well, which is just the energy to get up and down, is there. He's great at pressing when there's like miles open space. He doesn't let people just turn him easily in midfield in the some ways that Enzo does when he's left in that role pretty isolated. He's very savvy in that regard in terms of, you know, pressing and figuring out which way people are going to go and getting a foot in. He's great at blocks and interceptions and stuff like that. So perfect role for him yesterday to come on. I think we really saw the best of Andre Santos yesterday in the second half, and was a big reason in the turnaround in the game was that he actually got in and around Rodri, who had a really good game for City, but he sort of got amongst it. And he's also decent in build-up when he's dropping deep like that. He does take some chances. I'm a bit apprehensive of seeing some of this stuff under senior with some of the players that we've got there. They, especially Badiashil, Santos, Chalobah, they really like to gamble on things that don't have much upside. And if we give the ball away, it's almost certainly going to be a goal. It's not my personal cup of tea, some of these guys. But yeah, you know, overall, really, really good performance from Santos.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. Again, talk about a chimpong needed to be proactive. He's very proactive, Santos. You can tell he's one of his best attributes is awareness defensively. Lots of good positions he takes up to stop the balls going through. Really good at tackling. He can foul. We know that. He's pretty good at that too. But also cool on the ball. Doesn't just laser the ball up the pitch as some of our defenders like to do. I think he found himself on the byline at one point, and his first instinct is to pass the ball to our players, not to kick out a play, give him a throw in. He wants to keep the ball. It's so hard to teach that to someone. You just need the confidence to pull it off, and I love the fact that he's trying to do that, because that gave us another counter-attack, because he played it into, I remember who it was, into central midfield. That goes out wide, across to Palmer, Enzo, etc. You know, and suddenly you've got a chance. So all these things make big differences. And he's got a good pass in him going forward as well, Santos. I think there's a lot to like about his game, and I would like to see more of him. Drips and drabs, doesn't need to be playing just yet, but I think like to see more of him as the season goes on. I think he's going to be a decent player for us.
I mean, the elephant in the room, wasn't the elephant, but I mean, he was Rossini's boy, wasn't he? I mean, you can't see Lee Rossini coming in and Andre Santos getting worse. I mean, I think he'll improve him, clearly. So, yeah, he got good performance to base it off. And it was quite interesting, actually, that two players who I think both have played under Rossini and both will think they've got a good chance of being in the team performed pretty well. Lee and Delat, I mean, until we turned into a rugby player again and he buys someone into the holding for no reason, had a pretty good 30 minutes. So yeah, like I said before, there'll be some players who were not performing under Maresca or not really getting much of a look in who will be better for a senior. So yeah.
Well, it would definitely be better for Delap, because his first touch is appalling and he was being asked to basically hold the ball up and play off, and he just loses the ball.
I mean,
he's so much better on the shoulder though, Delap. Like, even in the game, he's just dragging defenders left, right and centre. He's good when you pass the ball into him. His bad touch doesn't mean as much when it's a forward bad touch, and he can barge people out of the way a bit and get a shot off, which he did with his left foot, I think.
I think that might be his third shot on target all season, I think. He's done nothing in attack. So to actually get a shot on target and to actually have some decent build-up and some decent touches and some presence in the game was encouraging. So, yeah.
He looked a bit more like Ipswich, Delap.
Yeah.
Yes. Against City than I've seen him before. It looked like he was trying to be something he was not under Maresca a little bit.
Probably something he's been told to be.
Well, yeah, for sure. But, you know, you've got to play to people's strengths, not their weaknesses.
Go on.
I was going to say, let's talk about Gusto.
Yeah, so Gusto, I think, just want to talk overall about him. I thought he had a good game, obviously got the assist. But he gets a bit of a rough deal, really, because we judge all these players playing their same position. They're performing well or badly or whatever. Gusto actually ends up playing. He's played right back, right wing back, left back, DM, and 10 for us this season. I mean, he's playing absolutely everywhere. And he's not the most technical or, you know, best footballer, Gusto, but he gives everything when he plays. He really does. And that was him like sprinting forward. He's not the best at going past people, but he managed to get past O'Reilly, who's had a really good season for City at left back, and get the cross in for the goal. So he doesn't get given the assist, it doesn't look like, in this, actually. But he yeah, probably.
It was because he had the shot. It was deflected and then Enzo had a shot, yeah, right? And that was saved.
Oh.
He gives everything when he plays, Gusto, and yeah, I think should give him some credit for that and being so versatile.
Definitely. I think he's shown that he's a decent team player. He's just been
He has no ceiling, Gusto. Like he's never going to be the best right back in the world. Like he just doesn't have the quality to be that. But what he can be is a valuable member of a squad, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Utility player, really good.
His ceiling is like Carvial, right, for Real Madrid, who obviously was really good, but it's limited, I think. But that's the best he could be.
I think Carvajal's recognised as one of the better right backs.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's
wouldn't be Carvajal and Gusto in the same sentence, but there you go.
Yeah, that was his ceiling comparison. Yeah.
I mean, Gusto is good at crossing, and he actually did a good cross for the first time this season and the first time I can remember. It's a lot of first in this game. Delap's got a shot on target, and Gusto did a good cross. So,
what does that tell you?
If they do things they're actually somewhat good at, that's usually good for a football team. So, yeah, he can cross. He actually remembered. So, yeah, maybe this new manager kicks some of them into life.
That would be really handy. Yes. Right, we're going to talk a little bit around Boiling Hot. There's a few people in here. Reece James, and I've got Enzo. Probably, arguably, the two best ones on the pitch.
I think the only two that you could reasonably give it to, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk about Enzo before we get on to Reece. I think Enzo, the first half, was like a lost puppy. He was always too late to where he needed to be. And he was defensively in the central areas, not fantastic. Gave up too much space. Just reckless in his like decision making, jumping in when he doesn't need to, when he can mark like spaces to push the ball wide, which we want. But second half, put him in this sort of free roll box crashing position. This is his role, I think. His intelligence is insane. Every time we went forward with him, he was always making good decisions on the ball. In terms of passing the ball to the players that needed to get it, who then weren't the best with it. His spin move for the Neto miss is absolutely insane. And obviously, look, if we think back to Crystal Palace away, where what were we, 2-1 or 3-1 up against them, and he was absolutely gunning to get in the box, and then he scored, I think, at the end to make it 4-1. It was very reminiscent of that, where if there's one guy that's going to be running into the box to score a goal at the end of the game, it's going to be Enzo. He just absolutely is desperate to win or score or get a goal. So he was there, you know, at the back post, unmarked, ready to score. And fine, he maybe could have done better with the first one, but he got the second one in, and you have to give him a lot of credit because he was there, you know, in the 97th minute, whenever it was, to score the goal. And a lot of people, as we've seen in the five minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes into the game, they're not even running into the box to score. But that's the sort of person he is. So you have to appreciate that. And I think that kind of sums him up as a player. He is just a bit of a winner at heart, and he hates to lose.
I think Lampard called that out in his stint with Chelsea, right? He said, Enzo, he gets what it is to play for Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. You can see it. It's written all over his face when he scores as well. He absolutely loves it.
Because he's Frank Fernandez, number eight, break into the box.
Enzo Lampard.
He's his protege.
It was a bit of a Lampard-type goal, wasn't it?
I've said for a while he looks a bit like Lampard, and I got ridiculed, but he is like that. He's breaking into the box.
You have to squint, though, really, really hard.
He's a little bit like Bruno Guimaraes, a little bit, where sometimes he can not be involved at all, depending on the role he plays, but when he box crashes, he's really eager to get into the box. It was that game under Maresca, actually, Leicester away, and he got a tap in, and I think from there, Maresca told him, you've got to crash the box more, because you're good at it. So, yeah, and he's... Yeah, 16 defensive contributions this game. I mean, he really put a shift in. And yeah, I mean, he's top joint goal scorer in the Premier League, which is really good for him, but also shows the deficiencies of our attack.
Yeah. Six goals at
the halfway point from midfield is good, whichever way you look at it, I think.
No, it's fantastic. Nothing to get on him. If he gets 12 league goals, great, but... he shouldn't be being our top goal scorer, let's be honest. Because a lot of the time he's playing quite deep.
I wouldn't put him deep anymore. I think this is actually just a really good spot for him.
He's kind of quashed our narrative that we all sort of had, hasn't he, where you don't want him in and around the box. It's kind of, you actually do.
The goal
against Bournemouth at home, I mean, that was absolutely insane.
That's not, like, he still needs protection. He's slow, like...
But that's why he's good.
In game for Caicedo's not playing, Caicedo's got to do a lot of covering for him, like a lot.
That's fine. That's his job.
Well, it wasn't fine under Poch, like where he was literally...
Wasn't playing in the same position as he is now. Like, he was playing alongside Caicedo under Poch, which was wrong. Gallagher was next to him, and then he was further up.
You want him in the 8, not the 10, though. So... Yeah, he's doing well, Enzo. He's a good box crosser. His shooting's improved. His shooting used to be terrible from like 20, 30 yards. It's a bit better.
The most important thing is it's better inside the box.
He's much fitter. He looks fitter. He looks sharper. He looks more on it. He's the vice captain. I think he's taken to that role quite well. Him and Reece, obviously. I don't know if you saw the Sky Sports interview afterwards. They've obviously got a bit of a bond as captain and vice captain. And yeah. He's doing well, no doubt.
I was willing to sell Enzo Fernandez, but I might, if he plays this position more.
I don't think we go anywhere.
I would actually want to keep him. I don't think
they sell him for two reasons. There's not really a market for him in terms of the money Chelsea would want, and also you can't. We just need to see new players.
Madrid are desperate to get midfielders, aren't they?
Yeah, but we would charge the bundle for Fernandez. But yeah, I don't know.
If we can do a little player trade, I think there's been some talk actually of Vinicius Junior this week.
Vinny Junior,
great, another winger. another winger. I can't wait.
We'll give you Jamie Gittins.
Imagine Vinicius Junior. The thing of Vinicius in the Premier League, you get kicked a bit, and he just gets so annoyed. So different in Premier League.
Right, talk about Reece James, please.
Well, first talk about how. McFarlane has talked about Reece James, because I think even in the pre-match presser he was waxing lyrical about Reece James, saying, you know, he's been the real leader in the group, getting everyone together, he's been amazing with me. And then post-match as well, he made a big point, McFarlane, about talking about Reece, about Tosin, about Enzo. It's funny that you find out a lot about in situations like this. A lot of managers mention Tosin. I know he must be very influential in the group. But those three, especially in the way that they've sort of brought the group together and Yeah, I just think, I mean, we've talked about it before on this podcast this season, just about the big step Reece has made with his leadership, but he really looks like the captain out there on the pitch and post-game as well, leading the celebrations. He was the one pushing McFarlane out to towards the supporters as well. And then just on the pitch, absolute monster, Reece James. I mean, what a beast. The amount of blocks and interceptions in this game from Reece James, you know, out of nowhere as well. He committed a lot of fouls in this game as well, but just covering a monster amount of ground. And then you add on top of that his quality on the ball. Some of his passing in this game was absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, just the overall quality performance again in midfield in a big game, showed up and really played really well.
I'm just going to keep it short. He's the only player we have that is in his prime and is elite. That's it, really. I mean, that's the only one we have. So, and he's developing leadership qualities and he's staying fit. I mean, it's just a really good cocktail for an excellent football player. And that's all there is to it. You can talk about, you know, he's obviously getting, you know, farther over, but Reece James is playing every week and he's fit. It's just a good thing. He's just, I think he's pound for pound the best player at the club, to be honest. Because of everything he brings.
I think it's like just a club. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league, right? I mean,
yeah, but I mean, like, you know, there's other like players are better. Like, you know, Palmer's more of a game changer, and Caicedo, when he's on, is in, like, super elite, and Reece can be as well. But just consistency, just leadership. There, he's actually,
when he's on the ball getting pressed in midfield, you never feel like he's going to lose it. Like, he's always so aware. Like, Phil Foden was trying to press him when he was like down in the right corner. It was almost embarrassing. Like, it's like, you know, heavyweight against like a flyweight. Like, it's just kind of like, well, he's not going to get the ball off him. Like,
And this season, two goals, four assists. So he's actually been, I mean, if he carries on, it'll be similar numbers to when everyone was saying that he was like unbelievable under Tuchel up and down the wing. You're still chipping in with like plenty of goals. I mean, obviously, the goals have been, one was a Forest and then one was a free kick. Like, if there's only one from open play. But yeah, he's getting assists, and yeah, just he's our most reliable player when he's fit. Simple as that. I mean, even Caicedo's had a little bit of a dip recently. I think a little bit. And Cole's obviously, Palmer's really had a pretty poor 2025 in reality, 2 other years. So yeah, Reece is just if he's fit, he's the guy. Simple as that.
Yeah, and also when Doku came on and just put him on him, it's just like, too easy. I've seen that one before as well, down the bridge when he went on him, and he just absolutely, it's so easy for him. He just knows how to deal with all these guys. So really helpful in that sense as well.
Champions League final, he's his first, like, you know, hypothetical Champions League final, he's his first name in the team sheet. It's just as simple as that. Because
Maybe Caicedo. So if you had to choose now and you couldn't play one of them, Reece, you actually wouldn't play Caicedo?
Well, it depends, but Reece would be more valuable because of his leadership. It brings everything.
I mean, you've got to say, yeah, it would be Reece at the moment. I mean, I know Caicedo.
I'm also the only player in the team that has played a final, actually won a major trophy, by the way. None of them have. I'm not counting the Club World Cup.
Well, the Conference League, are you counting that?
No. The one who's actually... Also, let's be honest, pre-Clearlake has won a trophy under an elite manager.
What about the Premier League Summer Series under Pochettino? Is that on there?
I don't think he even lifted that. I think they were throwing that around like a volleyball, like a beach ball, having a laugh.
Quick mention to Philippe Jorgensen, who came in and you know, let a horrible goal in, but wasn't abysmal in the game.
The goal was horrible.
Oh, that was... No, he should never.
I think an elite goalkeeper.
I remember Semenyo last year absolutely whacked it past Sanchez, and you were like, "How's he not saved that?" You know when goalkeepers get beat in the near post, it can just sometimes be an absolute rocket. By the way,
I think
Semenyo's goal was much better than that. That was just not that's saveable.
I don't think Sanchez saves that. It's just really quick.
By the way, Sanchez 100% saves that, because also I think Sturridge or Mika Richards made a good point about this in the after the game. It's like, he's only going to shoot in one place. Like, why are you covering?
Because of Badia Shield.
Yeah, the
position,
other post.
Yeah.
You just stand at your near post and you're just going to catch it.
Yeah. That's why some. So the good goalies make the saves like that look easy, because their positioning is much better. Yeah.
Just move over.
Jorgensen's not good. Like he's actually really bad. Really, but one thing that he is okay at, and it probably may be favoured of us in this game, is he's very composed under pressure when we're getting pressed. And City's high press is obviously good. And he doesn't panic. He wasn't looking to just boot the ball up the pitch. So that is one aspect where he is decent.
Just his bread and butter. His bread is going off and going mouldy, and his butter's been in the fridge for about an hour. It's just about a year. His bread and butter's terrible. Like, he can be good on the ball, but with his hands, he can't catch and he can't save that well. So
yeah, he's not looking good, bruv.
He can be sold. I mean, with Rossinia and Penders as well, it's not looking good, Brev. You can go to, I don't know where you're going to go.
Well, I called it a couple of weeks ago.
Going to be standing on the halfway line, apparently.
We're going to be back to Villarreal. I know he wants to play, because obviously you've got Kasper Schmeichel, who's like nearly 40, he might be 40, at the Denmark number one. So he wants to be Denmark number one. Good for you. But you're not going to get him as a Chelsea pass, Bob Sanchez, mate. You can't catch the ball, pal.
Scandinavian national teams.
It's just night and day. When a corner comes in, it is night and day. Bob Sanchez is just like, boop, right, roll it out. But he's just like, he's like Kepa. He comes out, it's like, oh, just what's all that? Just catch it.
We've got the We Survive Kepa t-shirt, so
yeah,
we don't want that again. Right, any other special mentions before we move on to around the grounds?
No.
Okay, great. Oh, I did want to give one special mention. That's to Badia Shiel, just being a legend. Stepping up.
Good or bad, or
just... Which is rubbish, but this year.
His pass to the City player for the goal was absolutely outstanding.
Brady, can you admit, after laughing at me for calling Badishil not a good passer, and you was like, he's an amazing passer? Can
Craig,
you admit that he's rubbish?
Craig, I'm going to start calling you Yo-Yo, mate. Like, if he has a couple of games, you'd be like, oh yeah, Badishil's actually really good.
Admit he got a pass.
You're literally sitting on the fence with a Yo-Yo. That's what you are, mate.
Admit he got passed.
Going back and forth. I never said Badia Shield's that good. His passing is better than his defending, though. You've even said the reason they bought him is they've scouted him.
Defending is not the worst I've ever seen for a centre back.
You said
so.
They've scouted him because of his passing. And you know, he said he's rubbish at passing.
I said that's what would stand out.
Mate, yeah. Badia Shield just put Haaland in his pocket. He had to take him out at the end of the game.
Can we get an update on Brady's dream points total?
Explain it.
Come on, Chris. You haven't even explained it yet.
Well,
Brady can explain it.
So Brady. When the season's... Oh, yeah. You explain your own dream.
No, thank you. You created the dream, though. I didn't put this myself. A little cheeky from Craig there. At the moment, I've always said, wanted that, especially when we've been quite poor in the league. I don't think we've got 80 points since the Conte season, as far as I remember. Yeah, I just want 80 points.
Check up on that.
Yeah, I think it is the Conte season, pretty sure. Where we got 93, and since then haven't got above 74. I think that's the highest. Maybe 76. I think the highest is under Tuchel, I think. Anyway. I just want 80 points. You can talk about it's a tough league, and, you know, Arsenal and City are going to get 80 points, and that's where I want us to be. I'm not asking for 90. I'm not asking for ridiculous things. I'm asking for 2 points and a bit per game. And I think with the investment and the amount of windows and the amount of investment, I don't think that's a massive ask, to be honest, after 4 years of this leadership. I'm not asking them to win the league. I'm asking them to be a good third or fourth, basically be the best third team in the league. And I think that is not really a massive ask. And Ben Jacobs, who I think is probably the best Chelsea in the night at the moment, the same that they'll get 80, and they're just massively underperforming. I know you think it's because of the league's competitive, they're just underperforming. It's just we should just be better. We're just so many games where we've got sendings off or just not being good enough. We can be better. So
two seasons ago, 91 points won the league, City, and Arsenal came second with 89 points.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that can happen again this season, 91 and 89?
I don't care about that. It's irrelevant. I just want Chelsea
in our own little hemisphere
to get 80. I want Chelsea in Chelsea fantasy land to get 80 points. And where that puts us between first and third is up to the football gods. But I just want us to just get over 2 points per game. And I think that's a big ask, to be honest. I'm not asking for like 95 or... I mean, 80, I mean even 75. Like, is it something?
The update on Brady's dream points total is 31 out of 80 after 20 games. How are we feeling?
It's not looking good, Brev.
Well, we all did revised ones. We all did revised ones, didn't we?
Yeah, 50, maybe we should do Brady's revised dream.
Well, we have done revised ones.
Yeah, but like update the the graphic at the top. Brady's revised dream.
Craig,
we could do Brady's epiphany.
Craig, it's your graphic, mate. You do if you want. I've got nothing to do with it.
Right, we're going to go around the grounds. Mm. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to start at Villa Park. Aston Villa 3, Nottingham Forest 1.
Finally, a deserved win for Aston Villa. They should have it framed.
Yeah, I mean, you can say what you want about Villa's XG, but in terms of the points, we're not catching them. I mean, they're just ticking over. Even Watkins started scoring again, so yeah. And Forest, got some better fixtures soon, but Dyche Ball's looking a bit dodgy.
Yeah, well, Amrim said he wanted Ollie Watkins and he got Sesko, but yeah, looks like he's pretty all decent, right, this Sesko. Watkins fella. And Villa are back. All right, Brighton 2, Burnley 0.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest win of the season for Brighton. I think Burnley created 0.3 XG. And that was right at the end of the game.
No, actually, have been not bad away, Brock Burnley, in terms of scoring goals.
They actually really needed to win Brighton that game because they've had some like pretty up and down results despite like decent performances. But yeah, they got the win.
All right, for Brogan in goal for a 7-pointer touch.
Yeah, that's lovely. This Rutter guy is good, isn't he? But yeah, Brighton, that's an easy one for them, isn't it, at home. Lovely. Well, Wolverhampton Wanderers 3.
West Ham are down.
West Ham 0.
West Ham are down. I mean, this was like as tragic as it gets. You're 3-0 down in the first half of a game that you literally have to win. You get 0.2 XG. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than this for West Ham. Like, Wolves, they're coming into the game at 2 or 3 points. I mean, it's just absolutely... It's embarrassing. Yeah,
I mean, they're playing Forest next, and that is a... I mean, you talk about must wins. That's must wins with a underline it, bold it. They got to win that game.
They're panicking as well. They're splashing the money in the jam window, West Ham. They know that if they get relegated, they're stuck in the Championship for years.
And I mean, tell you what, Bruno Amorim was supposed to go to West Ham before he went to United. So watch that space.
I think this is they got such a swing game with Forest with the points. So they can either drag a lot of teams back in by winning that, or they're cut adrift and it's just... It's going to be an unbelievable game, and this was an absolutely shocking performance and result, and they are in trouble, but I wouldn't say they're relegated just yet. Things can change quite quickly.
They're down. They're down.
Wow, called early. 5th of January, yeah? You're saying West Ham are definitely relegated?
They're down.
There you go. I'll write it down. West Ham relegated, according to Craig. Lovely. Right, Bournemouth 2, Arsenal 3.
Yeah, Arsenal like ground out another win. Bournemouth, again, really good performance. They're just a really good side, Bournemouth. And they caused Arsenal a lot of problems in this game. The XG victors as well, Bournemouth. Bournemouth away is one of the trickiest games to play. And Arsenal to get the win in a game that they struggled in large part for is very impressive.
I mean, Arsenal might win the league, but they're not going to beat our goals conceded record. 2 more goals than they... Well, they'll be over it, so that's a real quiz. So they're all saying that they're going to make it till May, 15 goals. There's only one left. Only one left, guys. It's January. So yeah, pipe down on that chat.
Yeah, this was a really good win for Arsenal because I don't think they won this fixture last season. They've done that a lot this season. They've won a lot of games they didn't pick up points in. That was evident from the first game of the season against United. So yeah, another win for the Arsenal. Leeds 1, Manchester United 1.
Feisty little game this. Really enjoyed it, and that's the end of Amorim as well. Like, just not the races United in terms of intensity. He's messing around again with formations. He went back to the 3-4-3 after four at the back system that he was sort of playing looked really good. Then he's in his presser hitting up the board. It was only ever going to go one way.
Pulisic's mate Aaronson scored, didn't he? So that was a good goal. Yeah, it was a feisty game. And I think his comments after the game were more stuck in his performance. But yeah, 1-1. I mean, 1-1 was a pretty good result for us because, you know, they're in and around it, us United. So, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, decent result for us and Leeds picking up points. It's important for them down the bottom. So, yeah. And Amorim probably deservedly sacked, probably too late, but gets the sack. I think that was the right thing to do. Darren Fletcher, end of the season, going to be an interim. So,
Goldbridge is fuming.
Good luck, Dazza. Everton 2, Brentford 4.
Yeah, I mean, Thiago was due a goal, but didn't realise they'd all come in one game. Brentford are just, they're probably the most impressive team this season in terms of where I thought they'd be to where they are now. And you've got to give credit to their manager, who I think a lot of people wrote off, myself included. They'd lose Frank, they'd lose Mbeumo, they'd lose Wissa, they'd lose Norgaard, and just they would just probably get relegated. That's just not been the case at all. They've been really, really good.
But now and on, they're going to finish by Tottenham, right? Just for the old irony of Frank. So, yeah, I mean, this is a
we'll
random
come to
result.
Tottenham in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it was a random result. I mean, Everton are a bit funny. Like, they can beat Forest 3-0, but then they get spanked at home, conceding 4 goals from Newcastle and Brentford now. So, yeah, a bit up and down.
Yeah. Both of Everton strikers scored in this game, which is quite rare for them, Barry and Beto. But yeah, they're looking really, really bad at the back, Everton. And yeah,
they've actually got really bad defenders.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I don't rate Pickford that much, but yeah, I think Damsgaard's a really, really top player. Actually, I think he's gone under the radar quite a bit. But this Thiago guy can finish. Yeah, and yeah, Keith Andrews done a great job. Definitely a lot better than I would give him credit for. So, yeah, very good win away at Everton for them. Newcastle 2, Crystal Palace 0.
Yeah, it's a must win for Newcastle. Again, another team similar to Bournemouth that have been playing pretty well and not getting maybe the results that they deserved against the Palace team that I was speaking to my friend who's Palace season ago. They said they were knackered and a tough place to go against a team that has to win. Always thought Newcastle would win today in this game.
Craig loves Eddie Howe, so every time Newcastle win, he's got a little smile on his face. yeah, I mean, Newcastle are okay. I mean, I think there's a lot of teams in around it. If you look at the XG table, there's so many teams that are just kind of like packed in that kind of 5th to like 12th mix, and we're in it. So yeah, it's just a lot of teams. I mean, Palace are performing really well, and they're falling off, and Newcastle, you know, getting a bit better, got a win. So yeah, it's just really unpredictable.
All these teams getting points, sort of condensing the points totals.
Yeah, Palace down to 14th now, I was told.
I was told
a point against Palace at the beginning of the season.
We're the mighty Chelsea, mate. We've got to get above the parapet, yeah? We don't want to be in the trenches with all the idiots, yeah?
I mean, I was told a point at Palace was not going to be looked at later on in the season as a good result, but it doesn't really look like that. They've really dropped off, and that was always going to happen to them, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, but their squad with conference, I mean, they just have no chance. Like...
Yeah, not the best. Yeah, right. Tottenham 1, Sunderland 1.
I thought this was a must win for Sunderland, for Tottenham coming into this game. And yeah, exactly. And yeah, they probably should have won. They shaded the game for sure, but it was very enjoyable to watch. Probably equalised and then give it to the Spurs fans as well for some reason.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, Sunderland just, I mean, they're up, aren't they? I mean, unless they get a points deduction, I don't know whether financial misdoings or whatever, they're up. And every game they play, they're competitive, and it's very impressive.
Yeah. Tottenham, this is a really, really bad result for them, and I actually would just consider getting rid of this Frank fella. It's absolutely terrible stuff every week, but maybe
they've got 27 points, and you know we've got 31, and it's like I don't know. You're just a couple of wins and losses away from making strides in these sort of positions. I think.
Yeah, they need to buy a few people in January in midfield, but yeah, not good. Fulham 2, Liverpool 2, goal of the season contender.
Goal of the season, not nailed on because you never know what's coming up, but just the magnitude of the goal being like a 90 plus 7 goal, and yeah, just top bin, absolute top bins. So yeah, it was fantastic.
they're just having that season in Liverpool. They're not really going to get... They might sneak top five, but they're just in that season where they're in a massive rut. It's the classic when you win the league and then maybe you don't change enough things. Or maybe they change too much and the ball, and they just... It's just the classic where they just fell off after winning the league. And, it's going to be a struggle for them. A little bit like us. I think they're going to struggle for consistency every week.
And Chris, another goal for Florian Wirtz. He takes him level with Mohamed Kudus.
Brilliant.
Hey, you're hyping up.
150 million. What's that? 75 mil a goal, isn't it? Absolute bargain.
Yeah.
75 mil a goal, yeah. And he was offside, yeah, wasn't he?
Both
he was offside,
ridiculous.
Absolutely scandalous decision.
He did also look offside, to be honest. I don't know how they overturned that.
Also, got
there's,
to
a,
say,
there's a margin of error that's greater than in like Europe that we have in the Premier League, so you're allowed to be slightly offside, basically.
So yeah, Marco Silva, we're going there next. He does such a good job. I mean, Fulham just got, you know, they bought that Kevin lad, but their recruitment's always a bit light, let's say. And
one thing I will say is they gave a lot in this game, Fulham. They expended a lot of energy, and obviously they'll be hopefully a little bit tired for our game coming up this week.
Well, how important is it keeping Harry Wilson in the summer for them? He's turned out to be such a big star for him.
Yeah,
so.
True.
Yeah, look, decent result for us, and Slot continues his unbeaten run. Draw specialist. Right, onwards and upwards. We have another game. We're off to Fulham, not too far. What are our predictions for Fulham away?
Fulham away, I'm going to go with 2-1 Chelsea. He's going to do it again. The McFarlane show.
I'm going to go 1-1. Don't know. I just can't. It's a tricky game, man. Tricky game. I just don't know. Just don't know what's going to turn up. But we're just really poor. I just can't back us to back up. We should feed off that energy and kick on. But will this team do that? I'm not sure. So I'm going to go 1-1.
I think Reese will get a rest in this game. I'll just go through. I've got on the screen here the little predicted team, what I think they will put out, McFarlane will put out. So I think it'll be Sanchez, Gusto, Fofana, Chalobah, Cucurella, who I think is back, Caicedo, Santos, Palmer, Delap, Enzo, Neto. So that'll be what I think the formation team will be for Fulham.
I'm not sure it'll start a 3-4-3.
Yeah, I mean, it looks so good. I just don't see why he wouldn't do it again.
Maybe, yeah. maybe he will. But I just think Neto, 90 minutes last time, he looked puffed.
He's a machine, Neto.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, he there's no one else to play, is there?
Exactly. That left
kind of a problem with 3-4-3. You just have to flog a horse. We've got loads of wingers and we're just not using any of them.
We could put Garnacho out there, I guess, or Gittens.
What?
Well, if you wanted to not win,
it's a problem with 3-4-3. This is what Tuchel had. I mean, it didn't matter because Tuchel didn't marry one anyway. But you've got three wingers chilling on the bench. Club management just can't have it. All the wages and it can't work. Can't really play this week in, week out, I'm afraid, with our squad makeup. Got Quenda coming in as well. It just won't work. You have to play. We have to.
Yeah, but they'll sell people.
Oops.
That's all they do.
The other option is
you
can
guarantee is they buy and sell people.
Play Garnacho play sort of that classic 3-2-5 shape that we've played for a long time.
Buonanotte.
You put Buonanotte on, mate.
Yeah, he's back. Quick change.
Freudian slip there. You want Buonanotte in the left pocket.
I think that's actually quite likely, that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll play Garnacho.
He'll give Garnacho a few minutes. And then he'll hook him.
You might start Pedro again, you know. You might, you never know.
Yeah. What's our score predictions for this one? So you had 2-1.
Mine's 1-1.
1-1. I think Chelsea are due a win. I'm going to go 3-2 to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Carnage. We'll see how it plays out. Predictions for Charlton away as well, while I've got you.
I haven't given that any thought. I don't know what even lineup we're going to have out in that game.
Might be able to pop a pod out after Fulham, though, right?
Yeah, we'll do a Fulham review. Yeah. Surely we'll get a Fulham review in before Charlton.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's all we got time for today. Thanks so much, guys.
No worries.
No problem.
Cool. Well, we will be back regardless of the result after Fulham to give you our thoughts on that. But for more updates on all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening.